This is Drew Mackey, and you're listening to Singing Mountain. As you might have been able to guess from the opening theme, which is the Charge Man theme from Mega Man 5, or as you might have been able to guess if you just read the episode title, this one's going to be all about trains. Trains, I should probably point out, mean something different to me because I grew up in California, where trains are almost never used for transportation. I grew up in fairly rural California, and then I moved to Los Angeles, where trains are hardly what anyone ever uses to get around. So I probably think about trains as being a lot more special than I would if I grew up on the East Coast or, God forbid, in another country where public transportation is a lot more common. I like trains. I think trains are fun. I think trains are neat. And I've never been on a train and not felt like it was a special experience. And this is translated to me always loving train levels or train scenes or train areas of video games. So in this episode, you're going to hear a bunch of tracks that come from these train parts of video games. And in many cases, they directly evoke trains with the way they sound. Like, the composers almost always choose to mimic the sound of a train in one way or another, and I'm considering this a plus, and it's interesting to see what parts the composer chooses to mimic and how far they tend to go with it. The opening track, as I said before, was the Charge Man theme from Mega Man 5, composed by Mari Yamaguchi. Charge Man is the train-themed robot master that Mega Man must fight. He literally is a train. He has, like, a locomotive for a head, and kind of looks silly, and I guess they had to do a train boss at one point or another, but he was actually made to look a little bit cooler in the Mega Man Battle Network mode, where he's not just a robot man with a train for a head, but an actual train. And if you go back and listen to this song, you'll probably hear that it kind of has a forward driving rhythm that would be very appropriate for a train theme boss and also a train theme stage. This is going to be a fairly short episode, in that I took a look around, and just because there is a train song in a video game doesn't mean I actually wanted to use it, because maybe I just didn't like it very much. And in trying to research to find more train themes, I thought it was very difficult to do, because trying to find train tracks usually just leads you to training mode music in video games. It's very hard to isolate actual just train stages, but I did my best and got together, I think, a list of about a dozen ones that don't suck. I'm going to start off this episode with one of the best tracks you're going to hear in the entire mix. It is Railroad Wrath from Cuphead, composed by Christopher Madigan. You probably know that Cuphead has an amazing soundtrack in various jazz or big band or ragtime styles. And for this train-themed stage, different instruments represent the different parts of a train in pretty much a literal way. The drums are the train tracks clicking by, and the brass section represents the train whistle, and all the way it keeps up this frenetic mood, because after all, this is Cuphead, and it is as stressful as it is beautiful. So have a listen to Railroad Wrath. We'll be right back. Speaking of difficult games, the next track comes from Ninja Gaiden 2, The Dark Sword of Chaos, though specifically the Super NES remake of it, wherein the first three NES games were ported and given some graphical and musical enhancements. Act 2, Part 1 of Ninja Gaiden 2 has our hero, Ryu Hayabusa, jumping onto a moving train and fighting bad guys like it's no big deal. This stage gets a fast-paced song because it is generally a fast-paced game, and that opening riff you'll hear in the first few seconds gives you the idea that the speed is only going to increase and not let up. So have a listen to The Long Train from Ninja Gaiden 2, composed by Ryuichi Nita and Mayuko Okamura. The next track comes from Metal Slug X, which is a remake, sort of perfected version of Metal Slug 2. Metal Slug being a long-running series of Neo Geo shooters that are both cartoony and militaristic. It's an interesting mix of things. I think I probably played some Metal Slug 2 on here before, but never really got a chance to talk about it. It's a different kind of shooter. You pick from one of four characters, two boys, two girls, and you're shooting terrorists, but also aliens, and you're riding around in various mechs, that's M-E-C-H-S, and various military vehicles to take out more people with bigger and bigger guns. It's very violent, it's very shootery, but it's cartoony in a way that makes the violence never really seem all that offensive, at least to me. Very enjoyable games, though gotta kill a lot of stuff to play these games. The train stage in Metal Slug X has intense action, but the music kind of isn't that intense. It's busy, but you get these jazzy breakdowns that kind of take the mood down for a second or two, which is actually probably needed because you kind of don't need any more adrenaline in a game like this. Aside from the driving rhythm you'll hear in this track, I don't think this is actually a very literal interpretation of a train, which is fine. They don't have to be. It's more of a jazz fusion express, which turns out I like. Maybe you will too. We'll be right back. Released in 1998, Street Fighter EX2 is the second installment of a 2.5D offshoot of the Street Fighter games that is basically forgotten now, but which nonetheless introduced some characters that range from wacky to kind of awesome. Some of them are pretty cool. I like Pullum Perna, an Arab character who rocks some rad harem pants and a high ponytail. And then there is a guy named Skullamania, who is a crazy person who wears black spandex with a skeleton painted on it because he likes skeletons. Skullamania. The game was developed by Arika and only published by Capcom, and all the original characters for this series eventually got put in their own game called Fighting Layer, L-A-Y-E-R, which is a dumb name for a fighting series. And you might guess that we just heard the last of it, but it actually got a new sequel just last year. So it's all the characters from the Street Fighter EX games that aren't the Street Fighter original. So like no Ryu, no Ken, no Chun-Li. But then randomly, this new version did get Terry Bogard from King of Fighters, which is strange, but good for them. In Street Fighter EX2, one of the stages is a train depot, and the name of the stage is Flash Train. I don't know why, but it makes me think of what it would be like to ride a fast-moving train through a city at night. Have a listen to this track from Street Fighter EX2, the soundtrack for which was composed by Takayuki Aihara, Shinji Hosoe, and Ayako Sasso. We'll be right back. Super Mario 3D World is basically my favorite installment of Super Mario anything, and this game's take on the airship levels from Mario 3 were train and tank stages, which, like the original airship stages, scrolled automatically and just confronted you with wave after wave of bad guys. Both tank and train stages get the same theme song, which is Bullet Bill Express, which is also the name of one of the levels in the game. In this track, the string section actually echoes the noise of a chugging train, and the rest of it just gives you that pumping, pumping energy, always going, never stopping, always moving towards the destination you're going to. The soundtrack for Super Mario 3D World is composed by Mahito Yokota, Toru Minegishi, Koji Kondo, and Yasuaki Iwata. The Professor Layton games kind of always sound like the soundtrack to a Lemony Snicket doll adaptation, at least in my head. And I think you may agree when you hear this series' train theme, Momentary Express, which comes from Professor Layton and the Diabolical Box. The Momentary Express, as I understand it, is a luxury train, kind of like a hotel on wheels. And while the music is a lot slower than what you're going to hear anywhere else in this episode, it definitely makes me feel like I'm due for a vacation. In Europe, but like the rich part, and also maybe in the 1930s. Kind of weird. In context of American music, like music being played by Americans in America, I don't like the accordion. I find it very irritating and crass. In the context of European culture, it makes me think of posh fancy people. I wonder why that is. So have a listen to the very accordion-heavy train theme from Professor Layton and the Diabolical Box, composed by Tomohito Nishiura. I know I've played music from the original Final Fight before, but I can't remember if I've actually ever discussed it. So here I go, because I'm about to play the subway theme from this game. The game sounds weird. It doesn't really sound like other Capcom games of the era, and it doesn't really sound like anything in particular, but I would say kind of verges on experimental sometimes. And I guess experimental is just like the easy word I'm using to explain something that just doesn't sound like any one genre necessarily. The game was composed by a lot of people, and that might be one of the reasons it sounds like a mixed bag. I'm looking at the composer list, and it's Manami Matsumae, Yoshihiro Sakaguchi, Yasuaki Fujita, Hiromitsu Takaoka, Yoko Shimomura, Junko Tamaya, and Harumi Fujita. I don't know which of those seven composers made the subway track, but it's something I actually used to not like, and then it kind of grew on me, and now I like it quite a bit, although I can't explain why. It has this weird synth thud or thunk. I don't really know what to call it, but it's part of the bass of this song, and it plays every few seconds. And it initially sounds kind of obtrusive and clunky when you first hear it, but then it kind of grew on me, and I kind of like how strange it is. It actually shows up on quite a few of the tracks, which is surprising since they were composed by a bunch of different people. You may not think this sounds good, but neither did I the first time. Maybe listen to it again in a day or so and see how you feel about it. The name of this track is Metro City Subway, composed by one of those seven composers that I just named. And again, no idea what genre I'd compare this to. If you have any ideas, please tell me. I'm apparently doing two hard-to-love tracks back-to-back because next it's a track from the Super NES game Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4 Turtles in Time, which is basically the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game with a few more stages tacked on. And one of these stages is an Old West stage that has the turtles fighting on a moving train. The music is an eclectic mix. I'm not going to say experimental because I already used that for the last one. It starts out sounding just a little bit like Chun-Li's theme from Street Fighter II, which is weird, and then segues into some serious 80s orchestra hits, and around right there is this bridge that I like, but actually sounds more like horses running than a train chugging, but oh well, I still think it works. Perhaps only for nostalgic reasons, I'm making you listen to Bury My Shell at Wounded Knee, which is probably a title that's offensive to someone, from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4, composed by Mitsuhiko Izumi and Kozo Nakamura. I'm apparently going for a bit of a Western trilogy here because the next track comes from the train stage in Wario Land Shake It, which has Wario ransacking a train that's barreling through the desert in a classic Western bandit style. The track, perhaps more literally than anything else on this episode, uses musical instruments to imitate the noises of a train, and I really like it. It also reuses what I'm calling the good, the bad, and the ugly trill that you previously heard me talk about in episode 74, the desert music episode, where it gets used in the calamari desert music from Mario Kart 64 to similarly evoke the West, but also Westerns as a genre. This track is well done. It's very earnest and high-spirited and positive, so much so that it actually feels like a bad fit for an ornery cuss like Wario. With the recommendation that you should listen to this entire soundtrack and also look at this game because Wario has literally never looked better than he did here, have a listen to Wreck Train from Wario Land Shake It, composed by Tomoyo Tamida and Minako Hamano. Wild Guns was a really awesome shooter that Nostrum put out for the Super NES back in 1995. I love this game because it was a Western shooter with some heavy steampunk influences, and steampunk Wild West was kind of my jam back in the day until the movie Wild Wild West came out and I decided that it wasn't cool anymore. But another cool thing about Wild Guns is that it allowed you to pick between two characters, Clint, a Western outlaw type dude, or Annie, a female character who kind of dressed like a school teacher but nonetheless knew how to shoot a gun. Guess which one I picked. Last year, kind of out of nowhere, because I feel like I'm one of the only people that has fond memories for this game, Nostrum came out with a sequel which allowed you to play as Clint, Annie, or two new characters. A plus-size badass cyborg named Doris, or a drone-controlling dachshund named Bullet, and I am not joking, and there's maybe never been a game that seemed better tailored to my weird interests. Because it takes place in the West, there is a train stage, and it manages to get that across with a rollicking train sound, plus those Ennio Morricone influences, plus what kind of sounds like a theremin, because this is, after all, science fiction. And theremin means science fiction. Here's Armored Train from Wild Guns Reloaded, composed by Hiroyuki Iwatsuki and Haruo Ohashi. I told you this episode was going to be quicker than others, not only because there was only a select number of songs I felt like including, but also because I did not make good on my promise to keep last week's episode under an hour. I definitely went way over an hour. This one, definitely under. The final track in this episode, aside from the outro track, is one that should not work, but totally does. It is the overworld theme from Legend of Zelda Spirit Tracks, a game that asked the question, what if Zelda but on a train? Which is a question no one really ever asked, but turns out was worth asking because the game is really good. Zelda on a train is a combo that shouldn't work necessarily, but it just does. And a great piece of evidence showing how this concept blends well with the source material is the song I'm playing next, which is the game's overworld theme. It actually pulls from some real Wild West influences because the Old West is when trains roam the earth, apparently. That's actually kind of true. And it sounds like an adventure on a train where it's a little lonely, but beautiful, and kind of makes me think of sitting on a train and watching the world pass by, which is kind of what I want to be doing right now, rather than sitting in front of foam board, sound absorbing foam board, making a podcast. But I'm doing this because I care about this and I care about you. Here is Overworld Adventure from Legend of Zelda Spirit Tracks, soundtrack for which is credited to Toro Minagishi, Manaka Tominaga, Asuka Ota, and Koji Kondo. And That's it. I don't have any grand statements to say about trains and video games necessarily. I think I already explained to you that I'm just a dumb sucker for them because they're novel and kind of romantic for me. And I guess that romance still exists even if you're shooting at robots that are flying out of a Wild West train in a total violation of time continuity. But I will say this much. I have one thing I'll point out to you about trains and video games. Do you remember in Secret of Mana and like the kind of second to last dungeon when you're going through the ruins of the civilization that trashed itself using mana power for the bad reason and kind of collapsing on itself? You're just going from room to room fighting monsters, and then you get on a subway, a still operational subway that's buried beneath the earth, and you fight zombies on a subway? That was weird, right? No, really, it was weird. It's really weird that that's something the creators of the game chose to put in there and then kind of just not really explain at all that there was a working subway in the ruins of an ancient civilization. That's it. I just wanted to bring up how I always thought that was weird and kind of cool. You want to tweet at me and tell me that I neglected your favorite train-related piece of VGM ever, or that you agree with me that the zombie train at the end of Secret of Mana is kind of weird, you can do so at Drew G. Mackey, M-A-C-K-I-E. You can also tweet at Singmopod, S-I-N-G-M-O-P-O-D. This podcast is also on Facebook at Singing Mountain Pod. It's also an Instagram page, also Singing Mountain Pod, in case you like pixel art. Listen to all previous episodes at singingmountainpod.com. You can listen to Singing Mountain on basically any service you'd normally find a podcast, including Apple Podcasts, which is still the place where it's most beneficial for me if you leave a rate and review. 5 stars and like whatever words you think are appropriate, and it will help other people find this podcast. You know this, I've mentioned it before, every podcast mentions it all the time. You don't need to be told that. However, I do read all your reviews to myself and then also eventually on future episodes. And the one I'm going to read today comes from Chicken Brutus, who very kindly gave me 5 stars and said, I listened to a few video game podcasts in the past, but I never stuck with them. They were okay, but they either got too repetitive or had no personality. I honestly expected Singing Mountain to be the same way, but a year after discovering it, I'm still here, listening more regularly than I do any other podcast. Oh, that's so nice of you to say. It's a great mix of music and insight. Episodes like Moonlight Drive and Afternoon Drive are my favorites, probably because I usually have Singing Mountain playing during my commute. Drew, here's hoping you'll round out the Drive Trilogy with a third fantastic mix of driving tunes. Keep up the excellent work. Thank you, Chicken Brutus. Not because necessarily you asked, but because it just works out nicely this way. It so happens that the episode I'm doing next week is the third in the Drive Trilogy. I think I'm calling it Sunset Drive. Morning Drive is just kind of too bleary and depressing for me to really get into. Sunset Drive is irritating because you're probably having to deal with some glare in your rearview mirror, but can still be very pretty, so please look forward to that next week. Again, give me your own rate and review, and I'll probably read it, unless it's really weird. Or maybe if it's really weird, I'll be even more excited to read it. Think about that. Singing Mountain is a Table Cakes podcast. What is Table Cakes? Table Cakes is a Los Angeles-based podcast network. You can go to tablecakes.com to find out about all the other shows that we're running. As always, I have one final track. It is a very famous train song that would definitely be up my alley, and you've probably been waiting for it this entire time, and I'm playing it now. It's also probably the outlier in this episode, which is why I'm putting it at the end, because it's very much so train-related. It's just of a very different vibe than anything else I've played. It is from Final Fantasy VI. It is from one of the best sequences in that game, when your characters get on the Phantom Train of Death, and one of the characters has to bid goodbye to his recently dead wife and son, who are going to join the Faceless Shades of the Underworld. It's very strange. It's very beautiful, though. The design of the train is appropriately fancy, but just filled with ghosts, and the music manages to tread the line between fancy and creepy and train-y very well. This one actually starts out with the noise of train tracks, and I don't really even think we're supposed to interpret them as musical instruments imitating the noise of a train going over tracks. It's just the tracks themselves. And then the music starts, and then it gets full creepy and almost baleful. Baleful, that's the word I'm going to use to describe the music from one of my favorite parts of a video game ever. The name of the track is Phantom Train. It's composed by Nobuo Uematsu, and it comes from Final Fantasy VI. Enjoy, and don't get on the death train, because it's not going anywhere good. See ya.
Table Cakes production.